I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
This episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is the only 24/7 wearable technology that measures the everyday stressors both inside and outside of work and training. Whoop measures the physiological data related to sleep, including the quality, duration, and consistency of sleep, strain, which is the internal load from external stress, and recovery, which is the readiness to perform. Whoop uses these three key metrics to call out areas for improvements and reinforce positive habits. If you're looking to join the team, use my discount code BBALL at checkout or just click the link in my description to get a free 30-day trial with Whoop. Come join the team. Let's level up together. Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. Today is day 4 of 14 Days of Christmas. Definitely probably the most I've ever recorded consecutively, but I definitely wanted to keep my word and let you guys get a ton of value and information, maybe some stuff that I've been reading, some stuff that I've been working on. So today it's going to be pretty much a quick hitter. Today we're going to talk about a secret tip to increasing vertical jump. So obviously this is pretty much a question that I get a lot. It's been on my page countless times. I try to get away from talking about vertical jump so much just because I feel like it's a topic that can get watered down. And even then, there's so much context that needs to be needed. So without having met any player, if they were to DM me, hey, what's some vertical jump tips? What are some things I can do? There's just so much that I can tell a player, an athlete, a parent about this specific topic that there come times when, you know, I just kind of push it to the side. But I wanted to give some insight into some stuff that I like to do, specifically with band-assisted jumps. So this isn't anything new that has never been touched on before. This has never been anything that's, you know, just brand new to training. But it is something that I do like to do on my own training with my athletes. So basically, band-assisted jumps are going to be bands that are any type of band assisted sprints or towing. It's going to basically assist you in whatever it is that you're doing. So from an article actually written by Andy Galpin, I'll actually touch on this a little bit. So he pointed out some of the benefits of using assisted versus resisted training. So to increase the ability to move quickly, research indicates that assisted training modalities can provide supramaximal velocity stimuli that cannot be achieved during resisted or bodyweight exercises, right? So that was a quote from the article itself. Basically, what they're talking about is in basketball, we're going to reach speeds that we cannot mimic in the weight room, right? So for instance, if we're playing basketball, right, it's a very intense game. We're going to be moving speeds. We're going to be jumping certain heights that we cannot replicate in the weight room because the intensity, one, cannot be mimicked 100%. The motivations cannot be mimicked. And even then, it's just the velocities are not matching what you would see in the actual game. But we can get a little bit closer with assisted training. So whether it's band-assisted jumps, band-assisted speed training, this is going to allow us to start to reach the speeds that we may see in basketball or even faster than the game, right? There's a couple different ways that we can go through this, but I want to touch on a couple different things. So basically the theory behind assisted training, it lies within the principle of specificity. in which that if an athlete trains at a specific speed, performance is likely to improve at and around that speed. So if you're working on your corner three, right, and you're just repping that thing out, eventually you're going to get pretty good at that, right? Because you've practiced corner threes. You can't expect to practice corner threes and then be good at ball handling. That doesn't make any sense. So with this, that's the principle of specificity. And specifically in this context, if we're training at certain velocities and speeds, well, eventually we should be pretty good at reaching those speeds, you know, in theory. But it's not just theory, right? So as I said before, assisted training can be performed a variety of methods. So you can do toed running, like I talked about, where someone's sprinting, someone's maybe faster than you that's pulling you. Assisted jumping, where you attach essentially a band to like a squat rack or something like that, and it's helping you jump to heights that you can't reach on your own, but it is allowing you to jump that same height and possibly run that same speed. It basically pulls the athlete forward or up, facilitating an increased stride length, stride frequency, or to achieve a supra maximal velocity, right? And this is not just a theory, because there's also evidence behind this. So to quote, previous studies indicate that assisted jump training, about 4 to 7 weeks with approximately 30% body weight reduction, resulted in body weight vertical jump height increases of 7.8 to 8.6% in active university students. So obviously this is gonna be some population where they may not necessarily be in the NBA, but they also did see an increase of 6.5% in professional rugby players and 11% in highly trained volleyball players. So this is a population in terms of the volleyball players where getting even the slightest improvements to performance is very difficult. The fact that we were getting an 11% increase in assisted jump training with vertical jumps, that's amazing, at least in my personal opinion. And so imagine for the high school athlete, imagine for the college athlete that's listening to this, maybe they don't have a strength coach, maybe they just have their head coach training them. Being able to get a 10% increase in your vertical jump, that's game changing, or even 11%. There was also a study that showed bungee-assisted sprinting, about 30% of body weight reduction, acutely results in faster sprint times over short distances up to 15 meters compared with normal sprinting. That is incredible, right? These are gains that are making, and not because we're putting the body under stress, but because we're just putting the body in a situation where it has to adapt to a certain vertical jump or a certain speed, right? So these are just a couple different studies that have gotten some at least valuable information, in my opinion, valuable gains. But I don't want to just leave you with that. I want to give you a couple of examples how I implement them personally, because obviously it's great to get this info, but if we cannot apply it, it's pretty useless. So the way I implement band assisted training with my WNBA players, my NBA players, my overseas players, high-level high school players, pretty much the same way that this article was leading out was contrasting supersets. So I might have the athletes, let's say they're just doing dumbbell squats, right? They might do dumbbell squat jumps, a resisted bodyweight exercise, or even just a resisted jump. Right, doesn't necessarily matter what type of jump it is, but just resisted, whether it's with a dumbbell, a medicine ball, it doesn't matter. There's some extra actual weight to that. So they might go through their jumps. They might go through 4 or 5 jumps because I don't necessarily like to go super high in the volume when it comes to the jumps. Just like to keep them low, keep the nervous system fresh. Once they finish their 4 or 5 jumps, they may recover for about 30 to 40 seconds, maybe even longer, up to a minute. And as soon as they finish recovering, they're going right into their band assisted jumps. So they might hit, you know, same thing, 4 or 5 jumps, but they're supersetting it. So they're going from one end of the spectrum where they're going resisted to almost an assisted, basically pulling them right to a even higher speed or even a higher vertical jump. That's one way I like to do it. I like to do complexes as well. So I'll go pretty much the same format. I'll have them do dumbbell squats, maybe dumbbell squat jumps, then drop the weight, recover for 30 to 40 seconds, go into body weight squat jumps, right? Knock out their reps, recover for 30 to 40 seconds, and then go into band assisted jumps. So now we're hitting the entire spectrum. So now we're going from resisted to body weight to assisted. I personally enjoy this one a lot more because we can get a lot more quality work in shorter amounts of time. And this is something that athletes like to enjoy too, just because they're doing something different. Maybe they're just used to, they're just tired of doing the dumbbell squats and things like that. Sometimes I throw it in there to mix it in, but for the most part in my programs, this is something I will put in. With me personally, depending on how much time I have with the athlete, it might be something I might throw in the second month, maybe the third month. It just depends what the goals of the athlete are and what they're looking for. But a complex is very simple. You just start off with a resisted maybe type of jump or even just resisted squat, whatever the case is. Go body weight and then go band assisted. And you don't have to really look for any type of special resistance bands. They can be thin. I typically would go for ones that are probably under about an inch thick, just because once you start getting above that, you're really getting to the point where the resistance band is going to pull you pretty high. So I usually say under about an inch, but you guys have what you have. Let's work with that. If you even have the resistance bands that attach to the cable or with the handle, that's perfectly fine too. Just be safe. Try not to hit your head on anything. I actually have a post about this on my page. If you guys want to check that out, The Sports Geek, I also have it on there. So if you guys have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. But that's it for today. Again, today was very quick. Nothing too crazy. No secrets as far as something that hasn't been said before, but I do think is really underutilized as far as just being able to, you know, make any type of gains from vertical jump training and things like that. All right, guys, that's it. If you guys have anything you need from me, any questions, feel free to reach out to me. Other than that, go out there. Let's go be great. Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.